If Oppenheimer was showing the strain of the last few months, so too was his immediate family. Although Kitty had given a stellar performance before the security panel, her friends could see that she was visibly distressed. One night at 2 a.m., she phoned her old friend Pat Schur. "We were sound asleep," Schur recalled, "and she was obviously quite drunk. Her speech was slurred and she was saying things that were sort of disconnected." In early July, just after the AEC's decision to uphold the ruling, an illegal FBI phone tap picked up the information that Kitty had just suffered a severe attack of an unidentified illness and had to be attended to by a physician at Olden Manor. 9-year-old Tony seemed to take it all in stride, but according to Harold Chernus, Peter, 13, had a very difficult time in school during Robert's ordeal. One day he came home from school and told Kitty that a classmate had said, "Your father is a communist." Always a sensitive child, Peter now became more reticent. One day, early that summer, after watching some of the televised Army McCarthy hearings, Peter went upstairs and wrote on the blackboard mounted in his bedroom, "The American government is unfair to accuse certain people that I know of being unfair to them. Since this true, I think that certain people, and may I say only certain people in the U.S. government, should go to hell. Yours truly, Certain People." Understandably, Robert thought a long vacation might be good for everyone. He and Kitty decided to return to the Virgin Islands, but while they were making their plans, Robert told Kitty that she shouldn't send a wire to St. Croix because he thought his communications were still being monitored. Fearing that the authorities might interfere, he said, "If that corner isn't loused up already, it will be by doing that." Kitty disregarded this advice and sent the cable anyway, reserving a 72-foot sailing catch, the Comanche, owned by their friend Edward Ted Dale. FBI technical surveillance had been withdrawn in early June, but a month later, after the AEC commissioners released the final verdict against Oppenheimer, Strauss had again pressed the FBI to keep Robert under surveillance. Illegal, warrantless phone taps were reinstalled in early July, and at the same time the Bureau assigned 6 agents to keep Oppenheimer under tight physical surveillance from 7 a.m. to midnight every day. Both Strauss and Hoover feared that he might make a run for it. Strauss had visions of a Soviet submarine surfacing in the warm Caribbean waters and spiriting Oppenheimer off behind the Iron Curtain. Oppenheimer himself was amused to read a report in Newsweek that key security officials have been alerted against a communist effort to get Dr. J. Robert Oppenheimer to visit Europe and then coax him into doing a Pontecorvo, a reference to Bruno Pontecorvo, an Italian physicist who had defected to the Soviets in 1950.